Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Christmas Eve. Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Christmas Eve, game day Eve. Today's show is basically like if a Tuesday Payne and Pendergast show and a Friday Payne and Pendergast show had a baby, because it's a Tuesday, so we got to do a pedicast at 8 o'clock. We've got Ross Tucker,
oh yeah,
joining us at 7 o'clock.
It's almost like this is the second Immaculate Conception,
right?
That
right.
Everybody
right.
talks about
Jesus,
like, yes.
And the Tuesday day before the Ravens game, we're gonna do 5 Reasons I Hate You today.
Yeah,
we're gonna do what else do we do on Fridays? There's Circle of Swarm.
Oh, yeah.
We have a Christmas Eve Circle of Swarm. Okay. Yeah.
Boy.
It's a big day today, man.
It is a great holiday, isn't it?
It is.
It's the greatest
of holidays.
They should have a celebration of the day that Mary would have been
I think we'll just keep celebrating.
Just go back 9 months and make that a March holiday or something.
Maybe we can get an extra day off.
We get on that, clergy.
Yeah,
you've had a couple thousand years now to do that.
That's right.
You're just like sitting on your hands, collecting all that stash. These rich clergymen.
I was gonna say maybe we squeeze an extra day off, but you know who doesn't really take days off? Payne and Pendergast. That's who. You're not taking any days off this
time.
I'm taking Friday off. That's
no,
it.
What am I going to do? I take a lot of Uber rides, as you know, and I have so many Uber drivers that are just like people that are just, they're just workers. You know?
Yeah.
They're like, well, what am I going to do? Watch TV?
Right.
Like, jump out. They've got a good job, but they like talking to people and everything.
And making a buck.
It's perfect for me because I don't like talking to people except for small doses of time.
You don't like talking to people, and yet you are from what I can gather, a very, very social Uber passenger.
Yeah. No, I'm very social. No, if you ever meet me face to face, don't worry, I'm delightful.
You are.
But I need my downtime. Right, I need my. Right, I need to recharge my batteries. So the Uber ride is perfect because I can learn about. The other day, one of my Uber driver was from Tibet originally, so he set me straight on some of my misconceptions about Tibet. We talked about Hinduism for a while.
You walk around through life with misconceptions about Tibet, huh?
Well, you know what? I just always assumed it was a predominantly Buddhist country because that's where the Buddha was from. But no, it's a predominantly Hindu country.
How long was the conversation?
It was about, it was a 10-minute ride, and then we sat and talked for about 20 minutes out in front of KHOU.
Wow, I'm thinking of some of the rides he might have just let go so he could talk to Seth C. Payne.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
He was one of these guys. He was an engineer who's kind of semi-retired. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, we had a fascinating discussion about the way the predominant religion of a country and its historical happenings or the historical events that had happened before it kind of craft the government and the way it operates.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting when he was telling me all about Hinduism. I'm basically an expert now.
Did it help you gain perspective on Tank Dell being out for the season and Jimmy Ward being out for the season?
It did. I was kind of trying to process, like, would I rather be, what's going to help me deal with this the most or the best? Like Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam. I feel like Christianity should be actually, just looking at it as objectively as possible.
Yeah.
The not having the fear of being reincarnated and just that one goal in one life of, making it to the show.
Yeah.
That's what I like to call heaven, making it to the show.
Right.
I think it makes it a little bit easier to get, if you look at it that way, if you have that perspective that, hey, whatever happens in this life, it doesn't really matter as long as I'm following the path.
Yeah.
Which is why it's sometimes so surprising to me when people get so freaked out about a knee injury.
Mm.
I'm like, what's it really matter? You know, like it's orthopedic. Why are you going to... If indeed what you're worried about is the afterlife and doing all that stuff, a knee injury is insignificant.
Yeah.
In the face of it.
Are you surprised at all that that we got 11 cuts from a CJ Stroud press conference yesterday? I'm not trying to minimize the Tank Dell injury at all.
Uh huh.
I didn't get to see any of the press conferences yesterday. I like.
Okay. Listen.
Let me lay this out real quick. I got the cuts like you did for CJ, D'Amico, and Bobby Slowick. Yeah. They all met with the media yesterday.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'm anxious to see what CJ has to say about the Baltimore Ravens coming to town on Wednesday. This is an important game. This could be a preview of the first round of the playoffs in a few weeks, just like Cleveland last year.
Right, and I know for anybody out there that's kind of hesitant about buying into this game emotionally, I need that three seed. There's a chance they can get the three seed,
and
to do it, they got to beat Baltimore, and they got to get that three seed. They need the home field advantage as much as possible.
Well, they're going to get the home field advantage, but they need one of those teams down that you're talking about. Like
there's a chance,
or the Chargers.
There's a chance that if one of those teams pulls off an upset, then you have a home game in the divisional round.
Oh, the divisional round, okay.
Yeah. I know they have home field advantage. I'm talking about as much home field advantage as possible.
I got you. Okay. So we get the emails with the cuts, and 10 of the 11 cuts in the email are about either Tank Dell's injury or the wide receiver room after Tank Dell's injury.
And I
feel as bad about Tank as anybody, man. Like, I got up the next morning after that game, and it was one of those mornings you get up after you got bad news the day before, and you're like, wow, this is the first day that I'm waking up with this bad news in my life. You know that feeling?
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, that was real yesterday. That happened. Tank Dell got hurt. I hated it as soon as it happened, and I hate it for Tank now. And not knowing what the prognosis is for next year is something that's weighing over me. I sure would have liked to have known what our quarterback thought about the Baltimore Ravens coming to town.
It was, Sean, so I did a live stream last night, and I just watched all the press conferences in their entirety on the live stream, and then I was going to do some cutting up afterwards, but the internet connection here was so bad that it's unusable. So the part, and I went back and I tried to find the part in CJ's press conference where I had already listened to D'Amico's press conference where there were multiple questions about how do you recover emotionally?
Yeah.
Into CJ's press conference, which was, again, how do you recover emotionally? How do you recover emotionally? And I flipped the hell out. Because honestly, after a certain point, I'm just like, what? Has anybody never watched football before?
Right.
This stuff happens all the time. Yes, it was an ugly injury, and that's awful that a guy... Guys get injured all the time and get put on IR all the time. It's almost an insult to ask, like, how... how, after somebody isn't even close to dying or anything, are you going to be able to step on the field several days later? Because it's the NFL and this happens every week.
Do you think this is being fueled largely because of how CJ reacted to it when it happened?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Like, I don't want to make this look like I'm blaming Tank or anything. I've had enough of listening to people on the offense talk about how happy, happy, joy, joy this whole group is. And gosh, everybody just gets along and we're all just we're united in the same direction. No, I want them to be like the defense. So full of certified a-holes in all the right ways. Psychotic whack jobs on that defense, and I love them for it. Mm-hmm. And then I go out there in the offense, and I watch them play football, and I'm like, I don't think these guys hate anybody.
Yeah.
Why? Which is like, in this season of Christmas time, can you not at least embrace the spirit of hating your football opponent?
Well,
it's what the holiday is for. Can you hate somebody?
Well, you may have gotten a gift from the gods yesterday.
Yeah.
Deontay Johnson is a Houston Texan. Now, Deontay Johnson...
Does he hate people or just love Deontay Johnson?
That's a fair question. I think it's a fair question. And for those who haven't heard, because you may have been running around like I was yesterday, shopping and doing things like that, the Texans went ahead and picked up Deontay Johnson. They put a claim in on him, and he made it to them in the waiver order. Deontay Johnson, who has had some good seasons with the Steelers, was with the Panthers earlier this year and did some good things in what at the time was a horrible Panthers offense. This just in, the Panthers' offense has looked much better than the Texans' offense over the last month or so.
Yeah,
with Bryce Young at quarterback. But the Panthers traded him to the Ravens. You can count on both hands how many impact plays. Count on one hand, probably, how many impact plays he had for the Ravens. He hardly got on the field.
Yeah.
And he chose not to go on the field in a game. And that's the interesting thing about this is, by definition, by how he handled his business with Baltimore and to some degree with Carolina earlier this year, because he said there's a reason Carolina wanted to get out from underneath the Deontay Johnson
Pittsburgh,
deal.
Yeah.
He's the least swarmy type of player there is. He literally refused to go into a football game. He pulled the Devondre Campbell. He refused to play in Baltimore. That's kind of where we are with this receiver room right now. And yet... I'm excited about this pickup.
I'm excited about it just because if you go back to 2022, the Chiefs traded for Kadarius Toney, who's had his own issues. And it was kind of an erratic and volatile and whatever was going on with Kadarius Toney. For one half of a season and on into the playoffs, Kadarius Toney was great for the Chiefs. You can weather any kind of storm, both on Deontay Johnson's side and on the Texans' side. People are on they're putting their best foot forward when they're in their first several weeks. The question with Deontay Johnson was, he's upset about not being used enough in Baltimore. I don't know if he would have that same attitude when he's just coming in right on the precipice of the playoffs. Nico Collins is a clear-cut number one, and I think there's going to be opportunities for him, and we'll just see what happens. I don't think the Texans are going to be 100% devoted to him no matter what. They're going to do what Nick always says he does, which is we want to get guys in the building and see what happens. I mean, that's what they did with Cam Akers. Now, Cam's issues were just his flat-out health, not his attitude or anything like that. And Cam Akers...
You're saying before they signed him, his issues were Cam Akers, when they brought him in, his issues were health, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so they bring a guy in, though, that's a huge wild card, and you're just like, let's see what we have with him when he gets in the building.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of reasons why you wouldn't bother with Cam Akers.
Yeah.
And he ended up being a pleasant surprise. So I think likewise with Deontay Johnson, you bring him in and you see what happens, and if it's no big deal and he's latched on, then so be it. If not, you let him go.
You think he plays on
I think he plays Wednesday? 10 snaps at least. I would put the over-under at 10 snaps.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have to have a amped up, like, anything. He doesn't have to know the whole offense or anything.
Yeah, just here's 10 plays. Learn these. Yeah.
Because the Ravens have had to make an adjustment as the season's gone along. They're playing, like, softer coverages than what you might typically expect from a Ravens defense because they've got issues on the back end. Brandon Stevens, one of their starting cornerbacks, is one of the most targeted cornerbacks in the league. So they sit back and they play coverage. They play zone. That gives a lot of room for a guy like Tank Dell or Deontay Johnson to get into those zones underneath. And I think he's a good offset for Nico, who I'm guessing the Ravens are going to try to double as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, this is an opponent I want him to play against. It's a team that just cut him, you know? Like, he should be motivated for this game. Should be motivated anyways, you know? It's a playoff team, new lease on life, that kind of thing. I'm like maybe mildly surprised yesterday. Like, I was caught off guard. Maybe more so, like, he didn't get picked up. Like, I did not expect Deontay Johnson to be a Houston Texan.
I know you just. I've learned this morning that you distrust the genuineness of my opinions. You thought it was a hot take when I was throwing it out that I wouldn't be surprised if Deontay Johnson was signed to the Texans.
Maybe.
Yeah
maybe.
I was it's exactly the kind of stuff that they did in New England for years when Nick was up there.
Yep.
Which is, all right, like with Albert Haynesworth or Antonio Brown, they gave actual money.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But D'Amico's the guy who wears on his sleeve that he's looking for great guys. He says it in every coach's show interview.
Yeah.
You know, and this, at least football-wise, doesn't seem like a great guy.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I'm surprised.
Right. But I think what D'Amico always says, too, though, is that you try not to judge guys based on where they've been. So this is low-risk, high-potential reward.
Well, and it's if Tank Dell had not gotten hurt, I don't think Deontay Johnson is a Texan.
Right, yeah. There's a sliding scale.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. All right, let's get ready for the Ravens game, the six-pack. We'll do it. The six storylines, people, et cetera, that are going to play into this game tomorrow. 3:30 kick, 12:30 Texans countdown here on Sports Radio 610. We'll do that.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Next,
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Just as special as it was last year, you know. Maybe more so because it's twice, but... It is meaningful. I mean, it's meaningful because, you know, if I'm going to talk about it in those kind of terms, in spiritual terms, it's a chance to bring glory on a glorious day, I would say. You know, an opportunity to kind of shine in that way, you know, before men. And a lot of people are going to be watching, so we want to put our best foot forward and do it the right way.
That was John Harbaugh, the opposing coach for the Houston Texans. He coaches the Ravens, opposing coach going against the Houston Texans on tomorrow, on Christmas Day. D'Amico was asked in his coach's show about playing on Christmas Day. He had a similar answer. You know, they're looking forward to putting on a show for everybody. You get the stage to yourself for the second week in a row. I guess they must have played on Christmas last year because based on Harbaugh's answer at the beginning there, talking about, well, it was just just as much fun as it was last year to play on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So what happens when you're a good team, man? You play on the holidays.
I guess being on, I can't remember if that was home or away for the Ravens last year, but I guess that's the big difference.
Yeah.
Personally, I'd rather be on the road. If I'm preparing for a football game, I would rather just, you know, not have all the extra distractions.
Especially on Christmas, right?
Right. Yeah. Now, I mean, there's certain parts of that that suck, obviously, yeah. But in terms of just getting ready for a football game,
yeah.
I almost wonder if it actually favors the road team because you have fewer of all those extra distractions of family in town and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I'd almost say rather be playing at noon also. They're playing at 3:30, so you got all the, you probably do have a lot of stuff going on in the morning.
Some gifts opening and everything.
Yeah, that's
a good point, Sean.
Yeah, thanks.
So they did screw the Texans with this schedule stuff.
Always,
I was fighting it.
Yep. Always. Text message. I know the Tank Dell injury is a topic of conversation, and it's a really big deal. But it has eliminated any conversation about the beatdown the Texans are going to take tomorrow against the Ravens. Well, we're here for you, Texter. Now, I don't know.
I apologize. I had something in my ear. He was talking about the conversation about Tank.
Yes.
No, not here. It's an injury and it sucks. And yeah, but it's not. The way people are carrying on about this. I feel like it's an insult to everybody else that's been injured on the team.
If I'm Jalen Petrie, I'm like, hey, man. I'm right over here.
Yeah.
I'm out for the year too.
How do you move on
without
Tank Dell when you guys haven't really been able to do anything offensively anyway?
Right.
Whereas with Jalen Petrie, he was on the side of the ball that's actually at least doing something.
Yeah.
Is there a procession at somewhere downtown today to where people can grieve the loss of Tank Dell?
Yeah, I agree with you. We've got to move on. In the short term, we got to move on to the Ravens game. I am concerned about Tank and next season. That part is weighing over
me. I'm concerned
right now
about that. And I'm concerned for Tank himself about the future of his career after a gruesome knee injury that. But it's
game's tomorrow.
All this nonsense about how do you guys rebound emotionally? Yeah. Because they've got a football game to play.
Right, right.
I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. That's why I got so... I don't understand how it's so hard for people to grasp that, somebody got injured, and then you keep playing football. You do with every single other guy that ends up on IR.
They love Tank, man.
Every year.
They love them some Tank.
It's really bothering me, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could see
as a former player where that would bother you.
Well, because it's on the offensive side of the ball, and they're not performing.
Right.
They're not doing anything. I don't need an emo display about just and calling it a tragedy and everything. It's an injury. Move on.
Let's talk
ball. Get your head out of your ass. Stop crying and go play football.
Let's talk ball.
Okay.
Six pack, can number one. And this is, the Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson combination. Dude, I was over at Channel 2 yesterday. I was doing Randy McAvoy's, he does a streaming show, an Inside the Texans streaming show, late mornings, I guess, the week of games. We did it yesterday live, and they threw a graphic up on the wall. He's got one of those big walls where you can put graphics up there, and we're standing next to the wall. And I've not followed Lamar Jackson statistically at all. I know he's having a good year. He's in the MVP conversation. They threw his stats up next to CJ's. And CJ's stats, by last year's standards, are mediocre. He's thrown a ton of interceptions. I looked at Lamar Jackson's stats. I'm like, whoa, is this a misprint? He's thrown 37 touchdowns and four interceptions this year.
Honestly, it is really, really weird that it seems to be the majority, the consensus opinion that Josh Allen is the runaway MVP. I don't get it. Maybe we're a little biased because we saw the worst version of Josh Allen.
Yeah.
But Lamar Jackson is having an awesome season.
Yes.
And he's doing it not just as a runner, not just as a guy that's a pretty good passer. He's doing both of those things. And I'll tell you, the two-headed monster of these guys, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, the stat I didn't realize, I knew that Derrick Henry was over 1,700 yards rushing. 5.9 yards per carry.
I knew you were going to say that. I thought the same thing. I'm like, this guy is averaging almost 6 yards a carry.
He's a really good college back.
Yeah.
Anything over 5 yards in the NFL is impressive.
Monster.
But usually it comes with, it's usually, a lot of times it's the second running back that's not getting
Change
as many touches.
Yeah.
And he's getting 5-plus yards per carry.
Right.
And then he gets a free agency contract somewhere else where he has to do the full workload. And hey, what happened? What happened to the guy that was incredible on 150 carries?
The Tony Pollard situation.
No, with Derrick Henry, he's a workhorse, and he's averaging 5.9 yards per carry.
Yes, yeah.
It's a challenge, man. This is a formidable offense.
Big time. Big time. So that's number one. I mean, there's not much else to say. I mean, these guys as a combination, how the league let Derrick Henry. I blame Jerry Jones because I think Derrick Henry wanted to play in Dallas.
Yeah, they didn't even talk to him, right?
They didn't talk to him. Yeah, they're like, no, we're good with Rico Dowdle. We're fine.
I wanted Derrick Henry over Saquon Barkley. I feel like at this point, with the way both those guys are playing, that's a wash. I don't think either of those guys would be doing that in Houston.
No chance.
I mean, Philadelphia, you got one of the all-time best offensive line coaches in Jeff Stoutland. Yep. The Ravens, you've got former Texans O-line coach George Warhop. Is their offensive line coach?
Yeah.
I just feel awesome about that.
What year?
2022.
22. Okay, it was Campen in the Cully year, and then Warhop in the Lovie Smith year. That's right.
So they're
Strouser,
and obviously just the dual threat of Lamar and Derrick Henry is a great situation for Derrick
Huge.
Henry. I don't think either of those guys would be having these kinds of numbers in Houston. If that helps anybody feel any better,
I agree, and I'm happy with Joe Mixon. By the way, I think Joe Mixon's done really well.
I think Joe Mixon would be having a much better season on both those teams.
I agree with that. Number two, when they're not running the ball down your throat, the Ravens have a couple of tight ends that are an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Andrews, who at times has been an all-pro caliber player, and the second-year player, Isaiah Likely, who's done some good things.
Is this only his second year?
I think so, yeah. He was a rookie last year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Fairly certain. Texans don't defend tight ends well.
No, they don't. They don't. And especially
go back
now.
Over the last several games, like that Cowboys game, when Ferguson goes out of the game and all of a sudden Schoonemaker or whatever his name is, like, oh, yeah, this guy's the next Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Now I see.
So that's the
problem.
I think so. They're going to get some touches. They just will. And now it's a matter of the old, okay, you got to swarm these guys. You know, Travis Kelce last week was it wasn't like Travis Kelce was a driving force behind the Chiefs' offense, but they dinked and dunked enough with him reliably.
Paper cuts. So the Ravens' tight ends are an issue. It's a good Ravens offense, man. Just a really good Ravens offense. Number three, life after Tank, which I know everybody wants to talk about, life after Tank. Deontay Johnson is a Houston Texan. How do they go about attacking them? Tank, you know, for all the talk about how this injury has been this major topic the last couple days, Tank was having his best game of the season when he went down with that injury.
Mm-hmm.
That's the frustrating thing, is not just the absence of Tank, Seth, but the fact that it looked like they were figuring some things out on the road against a pretty good defense in Kansas City.
Well, and I think the thing that they've done the last couple weeks, which is we've been wondering, okay, why don't they take more of this strategy, is Bobby abandoned hope for the run game, which is good, at least in the short term, because they've been passing to set up the run.
Yes.
And that's why the total rushing attempts have gone down a little bit. But I think they've realized finally, oh, all right, this my dream is not to be the way that I envisioned it. And we got to do what we might be capable of, which is let's sit back and let's dink and dunk when we need to. And I think CJ's done a good job of that. He's thrown to his outlet receivers a lot more quickly and in rhythm. That's how it's going to have to be. So the addition of Deontay Johnson, however many snaps he plays, if at all, this week, it's just as a threat and somebody that has to be considered. It could pay dividends. It could help keep Nico from being fixated upon so much.
John Metchie, full go at practice yesterday, so he missed the Chiefs game with a shoulder injury. He'll be back for this game. So they've got another body to go out there. By the way, Steven Sims, who was cut by the Texans, who I think they were hoping to get back in waivers and put on the practice squad, he actually got picked up by the Ravens, Steven Sims. The
Ravens have Dez King picked up this year, too.
Yeah. He's going to return kicks.
He's done the old Steelers and Baltimore Ravens highway, too. What is that, I-80 through PA? The old I-80 exchange. Yeah.
All right, number four. Justin Matabike, the latest interior defensive lineman, and the defensive line in general. The Ravens have not played good defense this year, but they've played well against the run. It's the pass that's been the issue for them.
Yeah.
Do we want to hear from Bobby Slowick?
It's too long.
Okay.
Basically, Bobby Slowick talked about the run game in the recent weeks and how just there haven't been as many plays called. He was actually talking about the fact that they've been kind of passing to set up the run more so than anything else.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Matabike will be going against an interior that will be Tytus Howard, left guard. Oh my God, who's playing center for this team right now? Jared Patterson. And then Kendrick Green is going to be the right guard for the game this weekend. So there you go. Justin Matabike. That's going to be tough to handle.
Their other young player, Travis Jones, the nose tackle. He's a good player too.
Yeah,
and Kyle Van Noy last week played really well, and they got home. They got to Russell Wilson with a four-man rush running games.
Great.
And like all those things
that the Texans have struggled with. Good thing the Texans know how to handle that.
Yes.
Take that, Ravens.
Yeah. And then in the run game again, you're going to have to pass to set up the run because the Ravens' run defense is very, very good. They've got all those things that tend to make the Texans rush for 2 yards per carry, whether it's the Lions or the Titans or whatever. It's that kind of run defense that the Texans have this year. Almost every single time they faced a good run defense, they've averaged 2 yards per carry.
All right, number five, kicking game. These are two kickers in this game with very good reputations, but there have been struggles. Kyme Fairbairn has struggled of late. He had got off to a great start this season, but missed an extra point, a crucial extra point in that Chiefs game. Missed the chip shot field goal against the Titans that would have tied that game late in the game. So there have been some dents in the armor here with Kyme Fairbairn. Meanwhile, Justin Tucker, by his standards, the kicker for the Ravens, future Hall of Famer, has had an awful season.
Mm-hmm.
He's 21 of 29, which is, and that's cost them a couple games. The reason you could say that one of the reasons, if not the reason, they're trailing the Steelers in the division right now is Justin Tucker has missed some crucial kicks this year.
That was a game of nothing but field goals. Their first go around versus the Steelers, the Steelers.
That's all they did
was field goals.
Boswell kicked six field goals in that game. So kicking game. The Ravens are a 3-point favorite, so the odds makers think this is going to be a close game. Could come down to a kick. So we'll see what happens there. I will give my prediction right now. Ravens 31, Texans 17. I just can't watch these press conferences and watch all the emo going on right now with this team and think they're ready for a short turnaround for this team.
I think
all the teams, in my opinion, in the AFC, the Ravens' best game, their A-plus game is better than anybody else's A-plus game in the AFC.
This is where I'm not worried about the emo stuff, really, is that the problem with the press conferences is that they keep asking these questions about Tank, and those guys want to be respectful towards Tank and not say, they don't want to get up and say, we got to move on. Look, this happens all the time.
Yeah.
So they're trying to pay him his due respect. I think at one point in the press conference yesterday, CJ could have said, listen, guys, we've talked enough about Tank. And then I got angry because I was starting to, get angry at CJ. Because I'm like, all right, look, I've had enough life lessons from a 23-year-old about perspective and the greater scheme and everything. I don't need to hear this anymore, okay? So I don't think that they're as emotionally bereft over it as people somehow assume they are.
Yeah.
And you're right, though. But CJ by bawling on the sidelines did contribute to that somewhat.
You'll give your prediction in the 9 o'clock hour.
Sure.
Okay. You will
give
your prediction in the 9 o'clock hour. Seth always gives his in the last hour of the show. So stay tuned for that a little later on today. Today is a Tuesday Combo Friday show because it's the day before a game. So we'll talk to Ross Tucker. That's a Tuesday staple. We'll do that at 7 o'clock today. Up next, headlines. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans. Injury updates, not just on Tank Dell, but others in the building there, good and bad. The Astros introduced their newest player yesterday, Christian Walker. We'll hear from Christian Walker on becoming a Houston Astro. Rockets win last night. We'll get to all of that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
The headlines, Texans injury report. Here's D'Amico Ryans updating us on the injury situation for the Texans.
Everybody's good. Just to start here, just an update for Tank. As we all know, it's unfortunate, a significant knee injury. He dislocated the knee, he tore his ACL, some other things there, but he'll have to get repaired. So he'll be out for the year. Also with Jimmy Ward, mid-foot sprain, he'll require surgery. He'll be out, for the remainder of the year as well. And Shaq, knee injury, he'll be week to week. It's just tough news. Those are, especially with Tank and Jimmy, two great guys, great players. But they will miss them dearly. They meant a lot to our team. We know we have a lot to pick up losing those two guys, but those guys will attack the rehab the right way, and they'll be back in due time. So our thoughts and prayers are still with them as they attack the rehab and knowing everything that's to come. But they'll make a recovery.
From a purely football standpoint, take all the emotion and Tank's injury history and gunshot wound and everything else out of it, I'm more football distraught over the loss of Jimmy Ward. Because if this team's going to make a run and a push both tomorrow and in the playoffs, it's going to have to be fueled by the defense. And it's going to be a lot dicier now when you're down. You know, both guys are really good in that star position, and you're going to face offenses that are capable of carving up a secondary. That's tougher. Whereas with the offense, they haven't been producing all season long anyway. There's nothing on the offense that I rely upon, so I'm more worried about the Texans secondary than I am the whatever loss Tank is to the offense.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, when Tank went down with the injury, when you saw how serious it was just based on how it was being treated on the field, you know, they didn't bring out a conventional cart. It looked like they almost brought an ambulance out
there.
Yeah,
but I'm guessing that's their cart that we've just never seen it before. But the optics of it make it look like he's in MASH.
Yeah, you know? So
that, it looked like one of those little old Jeep ambulances from the Korean War.
Right. So in the moment, I was thinking, like, yeah, you try to, you're obviously separating the emotion about Tank. We all love Tank with, okay, what does this mean for football? And in that moment, I'm like, okay, I'm more concerned about Tank 2025 than I am whatever impact this has on the Texans in 2024. Because to your point, Seth, I wasn't counting on the offense anyways to fuel whatever run we hope they can make in the postseason.
Now, it's just, obviously, Tank has to be accounted for. And with the Chiefs were playing a lot of zone in the first half, and Tank was carving them up with it. And there were times when he was beating man, but there was just more space to run. They're going to face a similar type of defense this week, and that the Chiefs blitz a lot by nature, but they were banged up in their secondary, so they were backing off a little bit and trying to play it safe.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens play a lot of zone. They've kind of started playing softer coverages, so it's an opportunity for somebody like Tank or Deontay Johnson to carve up underneath. Deontay's got an athleticism to him that none of these other receivers do.
That's exactly right.
Other than Nico, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. The Texans, if you missed it yesterday, they picked up Deontay Johnson off of waivers from the Ravens, who cut him last week. And yeah, that's Deontay Johnson, for all the issues that he brings with him, you know, there's a reason he's been on three teams in the last 2 years now. He's a bit of a malcontent behind the scenes, refused to go into a game for the Ravens this year.
Yeah.
That said, he is a guy that defenses need to account for. You know, like, he is a guy that they need to pay attention to.
Well, and just going off of recent history, Devin White played immediately after he was signed, midway through the week, was it not?
Yeah.
Before his first game.
Yeah.
And he played substantial snaps in that first game. You don't have to have him know the whole playbook. You just got to have a few plays drawn up for him that he's familiar with. And it's a complete surprise to the Ravens. So, I think it's a wrinkle that the Ravens are going to have to think about. Like, they're going to have to spend time thinking about how the Texans might use Deontay Johnson. How are we going to account for that? So whether he gets any targets or not, I think he can have an effect on the defense.
Yeah, I would say the lesson in all this, just purely from a transactional standpoint, is for the second year in a row, the message is sent, like, Nick Caserio ain't afraid to pick guys up off of waivers.
Right.
They picked up Derek Barnett last year, you know, and he's turned into a multi-year player for them now. They picked up Adrian Amos, and they picked up Kareem Jackson, Tier Tart. They picked up, so my advice to Texan fans would be keep an eye on the waiver wire, especially at safety.
Yeah.
Or in the defensive backfield.
It's funny, in the press conference yesterday, this was before the news about Deontay Johnson had come out, D'Amico said, we're going to roll with who we have. And some Texans fans thought that was the team just not taking their business seriously enough. Others said, hey, they've got 2 days. Like, there's not a lot of time here.
Yeah.
So I would have been fine if they hadn't picked somebody up because of the short week. But obviously, D'Amico wasn't, you know, telling the whole truth, which is fine. That's what coaches are supposed to do.
For sure.
Yeah.
And you think he's going to play Deontay Johnson?
I think he will. Yeah. I think he'll get – I would put the over-under at 10.5 snaps.
Okay. I don't know. I got to think about that one. But I could see, like, here's five plays. Learn these plays.
Yeah.
You know, give him a little bit. And I think he would probably want to get out there, too, against this team. The team just cut him.
Look, when there's, like, say that corner blitz that CJ went down on, CJ, you know, I've watched that like 10 times. I think he was slow to recognize that it was corner blitz. He was still looking at Dalton, which was not going to be an option on that route. But over across the middle, they had Ford was running that route, practice squad call-up. If Deontay's running that route instead, I think CJ can get that to him. And it could actually have been a big gain because the crosser was going towards the void from where the blitzer had come from.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, man. We'll see what happens. Astros introduced Christian Walker yesterday. Excited about that, too. 3 years, $60 million. You get a gold glove first baseman with serious home run power. Swing tailored for Minute Maid Park. Here was Christian Walker on what he liked about the Astros.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, wanting to win, for sure. That was it. I feel like approaching free agency, it's pretty unpredictable at times. So feeling like you had a decision to make. You know, it's exciting, and there's a lot that comes into it. But, you know, at the end of the day, showing up to a clubhouse where you win, it makes everything better. You know, I've experienced the other side of that at times, and, you know, that energy is it can be weird. So, you know, to come up to the ballpark every day and you know, there's a standard and you know what you're getting. You know what to expect, you know, from a fan base, from your teammates, from your staff. It's everything that we were looking for. Checked a lot of boxes for us.
It's a great signing, man. Good job by Dana Brown and good job by Jim Crane bringing Christian Walker
in
here.
No, it's we still have our concerns about the outfield, but I feel way better about this team than I thought I would this moment.
Yes.
And the stuff with Bregman's getting interesting. If there might not be a $200 million offer out there
for him.
And I think that there will be a really interesting shift in public sentiment towards Bregman if it turns out that the Astros did give him the best offer that he was going to see.
Yeah.
Because then it's almost worse than if a guy leaves for big money in free agency. Yep. You're always going to be a little upset, but you get it, you understand. But if he actually turned down the best offer he was going to get and it was from the Astros, I think there will be outright animosity towards him from some people in the Astros fan base.
The Astros had to move on, man. Like, you can't, like, they're cool with their corner infield being Isak Paredes at third base and Christian Walker at first base. Those are two good corners.
They couldn't sit there and let Bregman be their Carlos Beltran the first go around.
Right.
You know, where they just keep waiting and then
names
everybody
are flying
else gets
off
signed.
The board. Yeah. And Dana Brown talked about that yesterday. We'll hear from him in the 7 o'clock hour. That basically, you know, they'd reached the stagnant point in the negotiations with Bregman, and yet no rumblings about a $200 million deal. I think it's fascinating. Rockets win last night, 114-101 in a back to back. They go into Charlotte and beat the Hornets last night. This was a team that beat them at Toyota Center to open the season. That was the, beginning of the season. Like, high hopes. This young nucleus is going to be a whole lot of fun, and you lose to the Hornets to start the season at Toyota Center. They got their revenge last night, Seth. 114-101.
Well, I think it could have easily been a trap game. You know, they got it off to a slow start in Toronto, and you're flying back, playing the 2 days before Christmas. All of those things that could have happened. This is the interesting stat that I think Fagan pointed out. At the beginning of the season, when they had a double-digit lead in games, they were 1-2 the first three times it happened. Since then, they're 19-1.
Yeah.
Like, that's not bad.
No.
That's pretty good.
19-1 is really good.
That's a dang good defense.
Boy,
right
that
there.
Tells me that they... Okay, that's interesting, because I think they've won 20 games this year. So they've built up a lot of double-digit leads.
It might be 16-1 or something
like
that.
Yeah, but
what happens when I take notes on paper in a notebook.
That is a hell of a notebook you got there, man.
It's all over the place,
man.
Oh,
my God.
I could get an ADHD diagnosis
from
this notebook
alone. That's a lot of chicken scratch
there,
man. Pages ripped out.
The look of a mad genius, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. All right,
genius would be able to find the note that he made.
Speaking of geniuses, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, he's going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts on the Texans game against the Chiefs, looking ahead to tomorrow and the Christmas Day game here at NRG Stadium against the Baltimore Ravens. Ross Tucker joins us next.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.